And now, our feature presentation. Graphic Audio presents James Axler's Deathlands. Narrated by Richard Rowan. With performances by Terence Hazelford, Nanette Savard, Colleen Delaney, Dolores King Williams, Ken Jackson, David Coyne, Andy Clements, James Lewis, M.B. Van Dorn, Eric Messner, Elizabeth Demery, Michael John Casey, and Mort Shelby. Deathlands number 31, Keepers of the Sun. Previously in Deathlands. The water started to drop, bubbling under the heavy sec door, through the 6-inch gap that Ryan had left for it, dropping until it wasn't much above the knees.
Open her the rest of the way, Ryan. I fear that it will not get more shallow, only deeper.
Right.
The water level was close to the tops of the monitor desks, lapping at the walls. At first glance, Ryan saw that about half of the comp panels were down, the screens dull and lifeless. He waded toward the anteroom, careful not to make too great a turbulence, followed by Christy, then Doc and Jack. Mildred and JB brought up the rear. Ryan looked back to see that Jack had caught his feet on an overturned stool, hidden below the surface, and had fallen, sending a wave right around the chamber that broke against the tops of some of the nearer desks.
Sorry.
Ryan didn't say anything. No point in warning them all to be careful. He reached the door to the small anteroom, seeing the six-sided armaglass chamber just in front of him, its pale pink walls gleaming. The remaining lights cut out, leaving them in almost total darkness.
Time to go.
We'll have to stand.
Christy braced herself against the back wall.
Yeah, quick.
Ryan waited until everyone was inside the armaglass, huddled together, all pale-faced and nervous. He stepped inside the chamber and reached for the door, ready to trigger the jump mechanism.
Shit! Ah! Fire blast!
You all right, lover?
Yeah, just an electric shock. I just hope that the rad blasted jump mechanism is all right.
Water's still rising slowly.
Ryan didn't answer. He pulled the armaglass door firmly shut, walking across and standing next to Christy, and put his arm around her.
So long to Harmony.
They waited for the discs in the floor and ceiling to start glowing, the latter just visible under the water, for the mist to gather above their heads, and for the brain-sucking darkness to swoop down over them.
Has anyone considered that if we fall unconscious, we might drown during the jump?
But the jump didn't start. Ryan opened the door and closed it again. There was a flash of silver light from the control room, then all the lights went out. In silent darkness, water trickled down the walls and through the door, adding to the rising water levels.
We trapped?
No. The door opens. The worst is we can still get out and climb back to the surface. Move on from there. Be a real pain in the ass.
Try it again, Ryan.
I think the power's all down.
But Ryan remembered the words of the traitor, his old commander on the war wags. Keep on trying until something better happens by.
Quiet. I think it might be working.
Has anyone considered what I said a few moments ago?
JB looked down at the water, almost invisible in the darkness.
Comes up past my knees. 2 feet, 2.5 feet. Plenty to drown in.
It's starting. Jump's beginning. I feel it like a feather behind my eyes.
Everyone sit down. Backs against the wall.
The ceiling discs began to glow brightly, the ones below the water showing more dimly.
Arms around each other for support.
Water's colder by the second. Comes up to my chin.
Hang on tight, friends.
Ryan sat and clutched Christy, his arm around her, pressing his back to the armaglass wall. The chill struck halfway up his chest. There was no longer any point in trying to save the guns from the water. A mist formed at the top of the hexagonal chamber, filtering down over them. The usual feeling of having his brains curdled and whipped into oatmeal mush started to overcome Ryan as the Matrans unit began to swing into grudging, reluctant life. His last thought was to wonder if the flooding was going to affect the mysterious mechanics of the jump, taking them to some other place or time. Perhaps it would take them nowhere, sprinkling their molecules throughout the universe. Ryan's first conscious thought was that the floodwater had disappeared. Secondly, he saw that the color of the armaglass walls had changed from the pale salmon pink of the Colorado Redoubt to a fiery orange that glowed like the rising sun. He was amazed at how well he felt. Normally, a jump left everyone sick and prostrate, and sometimes it generated hideous nightmares. This time, he had no sense of time passing. He was the first to come around and sat motionless, resting, his arm still around Christy, her long red hair brushing his wrist. He glanced sideways at her. She was still unconscious, her bright emerald eyes closed. She was close to 6 feet tall, strongly built, and wore a blue jacket and a white shirt over dark blue pants. Across the chamber, JB was stirring. John Barrymore Dix, hailing originally from Cripple Creek, was known throughout Deathlands as the Armorer because of his unique knowledge and skills with all weaponry. JB's first act on recovering was to check that his beloved fedora was still in place. He then took his spectacles from his pocket and placed them on the bridge of his bony nose. He peered across at Ryan.
Not a bad jump.
JB was Ryan's oldest friend. They had met as young men, full of gall and sand, and rode with the trader in his war wags. They'd traveled and fought all across Deathlands for more than 10 years, learning the manifold skills of killing at the hands of the notorious master. JB's next move was to check his guns, the Uzi machine pistol with 29mm full metal jacket rounds, and the brutal Smith & Wesson M4000 shotgun. The weapon had been designed to hold 8 rounds of Remington Flechettes, each round containing 20-inch-long needle-pointed darts.
Not bad at all.
It wasn't just that the floodwaters had dissipated in the gateway chamber. The 6 friends had been sitting chest deep in the water. Now they all seemed to be bone dry, and there wasn't a trace of moisture on the floor. Ryan closed his right eye and opened it again. He automatically checked his own hardware, the Steyr SSG-70 hunting rifle, which fired a 7.62mm bullet. Its accuracy increased with a Starlight nightscope and a laser image enhancer. On his right hip, he carried his trusty Sig Sauer P226 automatic pistol, which fired 15 rounds of 9mm ammunition. Everything was in place and bone dry. Finally, Ryan's hand poised along the taped hilt of his 18-inch Panga, sheathed on his left hip.
Phew.
Jack Lauren was next to recover. The teenager blinked open his ruby eyes, running fingers through his shoulder-length white hair.
Don't feel bad.
Jack was only 5 feet 4 inches tall and barely pushed the scales over 100 pounds, but he was a fine acrobat and the finest hand-to-hand fighter that Ryan had ever known. He was also a genius with the leaf-bladed throwing knives that he kept hidden all about him. Despite his age, Jack had lived several lifetimes. He'd been a married man and a father before a tragedy had robbed him of that happiness. Christy had come around from the jump without Ryan noticing. He felt her stir against his chest.
Welcome to somewhere else, lover. How are you?
I felt better. Then again, I've surely felt a whole lot worse. That was definitely one of the better jumps.
Mildred's coming out of it. I just leave.